Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I feel like this is Grace Place. I feel like this is a place where you can get help. You get grace. We're going on a grace tour to South Africa next year. You'll be seeing announcements about it. If you want to go with us, you'll see some announcements behind me. And Sister Kathy Vogler, stand, would you, Kathy? This is going to be our Secretary Treasurer, Trip Coordinator, African Missionary, Kathy Vogler. Being transformed right now into this marvelous leadership, and I thank God for Kathy. You're going to help us. If you want to go, she'll have details. You can talk to her. We'll be taking people's deposits and planning on going next April and May. Go with us to South Africa on the Grace Tour. I have a word of encouragement for you today. I want to tell you that God knows exactly where you are. And when I'm confused about circumstances, and I can't figure out why things aren't going the way I thought they should, or I think they ought to go, I often wonder if God knows what's going on. There are times when I felt so insignificant, I thought maybe he didn't care. Have you ever felt that way? Sister Barb Norse came to tell me that this word that I was saying was encouraging to her because she knows how it feels to feel insignificant, to feel like nobody and not deserve the care of the Lord. And so God's work in your life when you don't understand, when it seems to be the opposite of what you have believed, then you need to trust God that he knows. He knows where you are, what you're going through, and that he will never leave you or forsake you. There are some words, some verses that get inside your heart that can't be shaken by circumstances. Because sometimes it takes you right down to the bottom of your guts. What do you really believe? And if you fail and you say, I don't know what God is doing, I can't see my way ahead, then you've got a thing down underneath there. It's called a rock. There's a stone that cannot be moved. There's a word that can't be shaken. And even when you're struggling in the rain or in the dark or you're confused or you're in real trouble emotionally, I'm telling you, there's a God who holds you when you don't hold yourself. He will never leave you. Tell somebody he will never leave you. No, tell him seriously, he will never leave you. Never leave you. So what is happening then? What could possibly happen? What good could come out of it? Listen, I'm telling you, there are things that God does when people die. God takes people's death, untimely deaths. It seems to us to be so, that's the worst thing I can think of. I mean, some people stub their baby toe on the corner of the bed and think God has failed them. Right? Come on, somebody. You go through a little pain and you start cussing and you're mad at the world and everything's let you down. And there's a term, I don't know when it started, but several years ago, people started talking about third world problems and first world problems. You don't have any real problems. Not sitting in this house today. You need to go to a third world and see what real problems are. You don't have any problems. You don't have any reason to complain. Right? But look what happens in our heads. We start thinking like things are tough. What is God doing then? What is God doing even in our perceived pain? He's working on your faith. He's working on your testimony to help you believe in him. If you go through enough stuff, you finally go through the next one without the same pain and fear and anxiety you had the last time. Because it's not like life without pain. He didn't say you were going to be without tribulation and trials, but he did say, don't worry. Don't you fret about it. Don't start thinking about next year, next month. No, you just take this day today and you celebrate the goodness of God. I'm going to give you a key. Here's a key. You need to write this down in your head. Stick this in your heart. Put it in your day timer. Here's a key. Wake up in the morning and be thankful for what God has done. During the day, be thankful for the good things. If you start focusing on the bad, it'll drag you down. How many of you know it's the truth? It'll drag you down. You start thinking about your failure, you get yourself in your eyes instead of God in your eyes. You think of your problems and you start thinking about all that. And you know what? I can start the day like this and end up the day like this. Till I get in bed and I'm thankful for something's going to catch me. Huh? But the Spirit of the Lord can remind you of a verse. You know, come on, somebody help me. You know it. You think of a verse. You think of a portion of a verse. And something makes your knees straighten out and lifts up your head. And you realize, I went through that so that I can know this. I can know He'll never fail me. He is faithful. Okay, now I'm going to blow your mind. Ready? Strap your religious seatbelt on. Your failure and your sin, your disgusting, terrible sin, He takes and turns it around and proves to you how gracious He is. It's the worst people that praise Him the most. It's the people who have forgiven the most, who love Him the most. How many of you know that's a truth? It's when you know you've been forgiven much that you love much. You wonder why I dance around so much. Now you get it. You think, oh my God, what a good man. You don't have a clue. I praise God because I'm forgiven. He set me free. I'm a grace preacher now. Come on, I used to be a hard preacher. I'm a grace preacher now. I've seen myself in the mirror enough to know we all need the grace of God. How many of you know it's the truth? How many of you are being converted by your faith? God's taking your failure and converting you into a good, loving, kind person. Huh? How many of you have been beat up enough that you can look around and say, I don't despise my neighbor. I love my neighbor. It doesn't matter how bad people are. I'm going to love them. Come on. How did you get there? How did this church get formed into what it is? Because God took a bunch of mess and tried to make a church out of it. Is that all right? I want you to look with me, please, at Exodus chapter 25, verse 16 and verse 22. Exodus chapter 25. For all of you out there in radio land who listen on the podcast, you almost have to be here today. If you live close enough to drive, you should be in church with us because you can't get all this on the podcast. What God has done in this service today is marvelous to us. Exodus chapter 25, and it's the description of the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to read verse 16. And God spoke to Moses and said, then, everybody say then. So there's something previous to this. Before this, they're going to form, build this Ark of the Covenant, and then, after you build that Ark, put in the Ark the testimony, which I will give you. Look at verse 25, excuse me, verse 22. There, above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. So it's called the Ark, and then he calls it the Ark of the Testimony. The most valuable piece of furniture for thousands of years on this planet, the most central figure, physical, on the planet was the Ark of the Covenant. God spoke from between the cherubim, these formed of gold angels with their wings touching there in the middle. God spoke from that place. The Ark of the Covenant was the most valuable piece of furniture to the nation of Israel. It represented the place where God would speak. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that all of these things were just a shadow, just an example of what was to come. Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 says this is a shadow. Please go, I didn't give it to the guys at the back, but would you look at Hebrews with me for just a moment? Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And it is in verse 4, the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This is Hebrews 9, 4, the second portion of that verse says, this ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. God called those stone tablets the testimony. The Ark of the Testimony had three things in it. Did you notice that? The gold pot of manna, the rod or the staff, Aaron's staff that budded, and the testimony. The first thing that God said to Moses was, when you make the ark, when you get this golden box completed, put in it the testimony I give you. Put my word in there. You are the Ark of the Covenant. The most valuable piece of furniture, the most valuable thing on the earth was the Ark of the Covenant. It's where God spoke. That is you. You are the apple of his eye. You are that piece of furniture. Look at me. God never speaks to a group. He always speaks to a person. And that person can lead the group, influence the whole. God never speaks to the group. He always speaks to the person. That's you. God has spoken to you. Somebody needs to get excited about this. God Almighty has spoken to you. He woke you up. He spoke a word and brought life to you. You didn't come to life by yourself. You aren't here because of your own imagination or your own strength. God spoke to you. And when he speaks to you, he speaks to you inside of you. How many of you wish he'd write it on the wall? How many of you ever wish he would write it out or say something out loud? Have you ever said, would you just say it out loud so I can hear you? And the truth is, he's speaking inside of you. He said, I'm going to put my testimony, I'm going to put my word. You get this thing built. When you're born, he's going to put a testimony in you. He's going to put his word in you. Three things: the word of God, the pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Three things in you. God's word is first. In the beginning, God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. Everybody say the word. He's going to put his word in you. His word above his name, David said, because the Aaron's staff represented authority. Put Aaron's name on the staff. They put 12 staffs in front of the ark. God said, I'm going to choose. I'll show you who's the authority. I'm going to choose the name. And he put his name on that staff. And in the morning when they came back, the rod had budded. That old stick had budded and had fruit on it. God was proving, I'm the authority here. I'm in charge here. So he gives you his word. Ha! Then he gives you his authority, and that's why Gloria can stand up and say, by God's word, be healed. That's why you can say to the situations in your life, I have the word of God in me, and I have the authority to apply the word of God. Listen, you go from hearing to speaking. You got it, and then it becomes a part of your life. And then who is the bread of life? Who is the pot of manna? Jesus is the word made flesh. His name is above every name. He is the testimony, staff, the name, the authority. He is the name that is above every name. His name has been chosen. He is the authority. And he is the manna. He's the bread of life. He's your provider. Think of the order in which they came. Understand, God is doing something in your life. Hear me now. You don't get the other two until you get the word. You don't recognize the provision until you understand his word. You need to speak his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So you know that because he has placed himself in you, Jesus is all of the above. He is the Word, he is the authority, and he's the bread of life. So what he has done is he has invested himself in you. Now, I need a teaching moment here. I want you to listen to me carefully. This is a teaching moment. I want to teach it. I won't just preach to you today. We don't live or experience the fullness of God because we have thoughts that argue with the Word that's in our hearts. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, will war against your mind, and your mind will fight against the Word of God. The battle is a raging, real battle, because you'll be in a situation. Maybe you're in pain, maybe you're sick, maybe like Terry, there's an illness. Maybe you're in a financial bond. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe your kids are off. And that situation, what you know in your mind, will argue with the Word that's in your spirit. Now, how many of you know that's the truth? That's the battle. It's not that the Word isn't in you. It's there's this conflict. There's a battle going on. Everybody has been filled with the Spirit. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. What's the difference? If you listen and focus on the Word inside of you rather than the situation on the outside. You've heard this preached 1,000 times. I'm not trying to make it any different. I'm telling you that if you hear the Word of the Lord in your spirit, if you have the Word of God in your heart, you look at the situation and the situation's the same, but you are different. I'm not acting like Terry hasn't broken her neck. I'm acting like I got a God that's going to heal that. Hey, holla. Last night when I prayed for her, we're holding hands, I'm praying for her. The Holy Ghost said, she's not paralyzed, is she? She could have fallen and been paralyzed. The doctor, the surgeon said, if we don't fix this, if this doesn't get help, you'll be paralyzed from the neck down. And the Holy Ghost rose up in me and said, but she's not, is she? So it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Something on the inside. And I'm going to preach to you now if you want to help me. Something on the inside starts to stir, and you realize there's something going on, conflicting with, contrary to, opposite of what I see. And I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith. I hear the Word of God. If God said yes, nobody can say no. When, real loud, Jane.
He says the storm is passing over.
Hey. Hallelujah, the storm is passing over. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't buy a condo. Don't put your tent down. Get up. Hallelujah. The Word of the Lord is inside you today, and it puts life in you. The Word of the Lord is life. The Spirit of God in you is life. And I'm wrestling now with the spirit of religion that makes people feel unworthy or maybe less than, or somehow you think, these situations, that doesn't apply to me. No, let the Spirit rise up. Let the Word rise up inside of you. The reason God put that Word in the Ark of the Covenant and put such value on it, listen to me, he said, don't let anybody else touch it. Don't you touch it. My testimony's in there. Don't you be afraid of the devil. Do not be afraid of the devil. These stupid pea-brained preachers that bring the devil into every situation. The devil has no place in your life. The devil's not in this building. I've cast him outside the Twin City. There's no demon that can stand against you. Don't let your mind stand against you. Do you hear me? You're full of the Spirit. You've got the name of Jesus in your life. You're being provided for by God. Don't let your mind play games with you. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. This may not sell books like those preachers that are scaring everybody to death. Because fear sells. These people talk about the 4 blood moons and Jesus is coming. And somebody came up to me last week or a couple weeks ago. There was a prophecy. Jesus was supposed to come on Monday. You look at me. I don't care what anybody else in the world tells you. You listen to me for just a minute and just you feel after your spirit. You just feel after your spirit. Okay, you just see. If Jesus forgave you, can he forgive anybody? You've got secret stuff and terrible stuff in your past, doubt and religion, and some of you got so much pride. Some of you got so much religious pride. Some of you are just goofy. He forgives you for being silly. Some of you are just dumb. You do the same thing over and over, like a dog returns to his own vomit. You're just dumb. You just keep going back doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Had the same fights for 30 years with your husband and your wife, and you haven't learned. She ain't changing. You ain't changing. You got to change the atmosphere in your house. Quit it. Give up on it. Quit it. People get full of fear, like somehow God, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all of our sins. It is all cleansing us, also cleansing us from our future. The world and its future is also covered. Let's go with me to Genesis, please, chapter 17. Listen, I'm going to get done on time today, but I'm telling you, there's a secret here in this old story that God revealed to me. Hey, Donna Day, this is great. I'm about to tell you something really great. This is the preach. You take this home, preach this. This is so awesome. Genesis 17. Well, at least I think it's awesome. I think I'm amening myself. I'm preaching myself happy. Genesis 17. Oh, my God. This is so great. Genesis 17. Now, everybody look here just a minute. I got to set this up. Abraham and Sarah have moved to Canaan. Sarah gave Abraham her servant Hagar so that Hagar would have a child for Abraham in Sarah's place. God comes back to Abraham and says in chapter 17, verse 7, I will establish my covenant, my testimony, my word. I'm going to establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Tommy Verdea, I'm very thankful that you're here today. I thought about you when I read this verse. Not about a lot of people, but I thought of you. Because I felt like if you were here today, this word would be really encouraging and fun for you and I to talk about. This verse right here. Your descendants and your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan where you are now, an alien, I'm going to give you as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you. And I will be their God. Now he says that twice, to be your God. Would you say that? To be your God. Now would you say, God is my God. God is my God. The Almighty, Almighty God is my God. And he said, I'm going to do this for your descendants. He's making a promise, and I'm going to keep my covenant. Now please, verse 19. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him. He's saying it again, isn't he? Just a little later in the chapter, as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Would you say for his descendants? After him. For his descendants. After him. In chapter 22, just a few chapters later, God says to Abraham, take your son. Come on, Daniel, you've been my little, Dan's my helper here. I'm Abraham, and this is my son Isaac. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Put him on an altar, cut him to pieces, and burn him with fire. It sounds so strange. What a test is this? You don't have a testimony if you don't go through a test. He says, take your son, Isaac, to the place I show you, and there sacrifice him to me. And they go, Abraham and Isaac, together. When they get on the way, Isaac says to his dad, hey, Dad, here's the wood, and I got a knife. We got fire. But where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the body? And Abraham says to his son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Well, now, Abraham's test in chapter 17 is to believe, though he's 100 years old and that Sarah's 90 years old, the test is to believe they can have a child. That's number one test. Now we're at number two test. One is, can he be born? Now God's saying, I want you to kill him. What's the test? Go back to 19. Put 19 up there for me. Get this, Tommy. Get this, Daniel. I'm going to make a covenant. And all Abraham can think of, listen, I've been in trouble. Mary, you've been in deep trouble. The reason you're shouting today, you can't even remember the whole verse sometimes. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm telling you, George. You've been through it. The hell that your family and your wife and you went through, the loss of your child. You can't even think of all the verses. You can't even think of the whole. You find the reference. I don't have a clue where it's found. I just know it says right there, his descendants. Got the fire, got the wood, got the sacrifice ready to go up the mountain. They're huffing and puffing and climbing this mountain. And all Abraham can think, I don't know exactly where it's at. I don't know what chapter it's in, but it said his descendants. How can you do this, Abraham? Because in my heart, I see the situation. This is scary. This is opposite of God. It doesn't seem right at all. This is so different, and it's not good. But I got this little part of a verse, his descendants. Isaac's going to have descendants. But you're going to kill him right now. Well, no, I guess something's got to happen because he's going to have descendants. Take him to the mountain and kill him. I know I'm going to do what God said. But God told me, I got it in my Ark of the Covenant. I got a testimony. I got a word. I know what it looks like on the outside, everybody. We know the story. Abraham had no clue. All he knows is God said, his descendants, I'm going to be the God. Now, get ready. I'm going to be the God of your child. Elizabeth, I'm going to be his God. I know it looks weird. I know it looks terrible. I know times my kids, my own kids get crazy. But God is going to be the God. I'm going to be the God of your son. I'm going to be God to him. Everything you plan, somebody that's had teenagers, help me. Everything you plan, everything you think, everything you hope for, it all gets crazy. You might as well throw the book out. It ain't happening like you hoped it had happened. You can't predict how crazy they can get. You raise them right, and they go wrong. Huh? You raise them to go right, and they turn left. Everything you work, you tried so hard, and everything just blows sky high. And all you got is this in your head. Are you listening back there? Their descendants after them. Not only are your grandboys going to be all right, not only is God going to take care of this in court, but your kids are going to have kids, and their kids are going to have kids. And God said, I'm going to be their God. There is nothing anybody can do to stop this. So when things get crazy in my life, I'm just telling you, I'm learning. Reach back in there and see what he said, I'm building your testimony. Man, I wish things were different. There are several things I'd improve about this church if I was God. There are several people I could. But you know what's happening? He's building your testimony. Things aren't always right. Things don't always feel good. You go through terrible times, and some of you do terrible things. But you're going to look back and say, you know what? God was working that out. Look what God's doing. Look what God is doing. How are you doing right now? You who failed, you who should be in prison, some of you have been in jail with me. Where are you today? You're in the church of the living God, praising God. How did that happen? He's given you a testimony. He's working on your testimony. Some of you that were in church, some of you that were pious believers, some of you were pharisaical and hypocritical, here you are in the house of God giving praise to God because you realize he worked it out. He saved me. Let's stand. And his descendants for generations. I'll just make it personal. I have a daughter, Tiffany, who's married to Scott. I have Brittany married to Ryan, Cade, Rue, Britton, and Everly. I have Ashley. She's married to Luke, and I have Preston, and I have Lila. Michael, who is married to Julie, and has Avery and Robbie. You say, my God, the world is in trouble. America's in trouble. Yeah, but my kids are going to have a God. And he's going to be their God. And none can pluck them out of his hand. Woo-hoo-hoo. I know what it looks like today, but I'm praising God for the testimony that I got inside me. He said, build that thing and then put my testimony. I'm going to give you a testimony. Lord, we thank you today for the wonderful testimony that we have. You've never failed. You've never backed down from a battle. You're the captain of our salvation. We are receiving the spoils of your great victories. Right now, we're celebrating the things we've been through. We thought we'd die. I thought I was done. But by the grace of God, I made it through that one. And now I celebrate my faith, my peace. I celebrate the provision. I celebrate the name that is above every name. I thank you for your word that's in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When the devil said it was over and you said no. I love that. I thank you for it. Bless your people now. Let your word rise up in them. Help them even to speak it out loud by faith. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.